if you have wireless cables or big screen TVs or anything that you can bring them to the open day, please bring it and talk to me because we really need them for the gaming over to Russ Russell, who has to talk about Westcom.
So, I'll start with the true confession. I forgot exactly again the Nikon. Last night, as I returned from the speaker's dinner, I thought, oh, great. I was nice to prepare. So this is going to be a little bit more busy than normal, but I really like that because I feel that's part of the Nikon commission. We're going to go through a little bit about Westlock to start with. I'm hoping that we'll still get some time. And then we'll talk about why I got involved with the project, a little bit about the code, and then some of the things I did, and then I'll cap off with a little bit about the politics and the people about the project, social infrastructure. Okay, Elliot. Independently of the project, someone just said, you should have a trailer. So it's like, that's a good idea, and actually just hacked it up. So it was nothing to do with Westlock, just the guy who thought, yeah, let's create a trailer. This was a 112 trailer, so it doesn't completely reflect the latest version, but oh, yeah. No, it's really good. Right, I tested that it worked on my laptop, but I didn't
want to use it. Don't worry, I'll
put this out. Just looking around. Yeah. Anyway, we read this trailer, which actually is a really good explanation of what the game is.
Yeah.
It's a very blue kind of game.
Hey, it looks much prettier now.
Oh, yeah. It's not sure. So what was it that whoever it was did with that property?
Okay, they can reach there, but that guy there, and he can want to kill him.
So I'm good.
Enter. A piece comes way over there. And kills my Bible piece. And, yeah. Which, of course, such tragic things that don't happen, like, reload. But it pissed me off, because the show enemy moves just highlighted on the map where they could reach. It didn't actually say how many units to reach. Now, of course, it wasn't my mistake. It was a bug in the game. So, I dived in and created a little patch. But it turned out that later 2005 was leading up to freeze for Warfare Europe. And so, that patch basically went nowhere. Freeze. Before I talk about that, I'm going to talk a little bit about the code itself. 100,000 lines of C++ code. Who here likes C++? So they're very different to actually not be able to get stuff on the one hand. So Windows people get breaks, so you know, stop it. you get the whole crash across platform thing. But on the other hand, when you compare this to coming from the kernel world, people send in bug reports with same file attached. And you replay and you go, oh, that's the problem. Like, it is so easy. To learn in C++, it would be trivial. But also, you actually get some really, really cool bug reports. I remember one bug report, there's an option to go to have shrouds. You can't actually see places you haven't seen. And it also turns out, someone had reworked the shroud code a little bit, there is a unit in the game that casts light, and there's a little halo around where all they are. Well, it turns out that while the shroud code carefully made sure it didn't actually render the unit itself that you couldn't see out of the shroud, you see this halo. There are not many cool kernel bugs like that. November 2005, freeze list, and show even more importantly. At this point, I should be happy. The code wasn't particularly clean, which meant that it fitted with the rest of the code. I wasn't entirely happy with that. The one thing that did strike me is that it must be really, really hard to balance an end level. There were some parts of the campaign that were a little too easy, and there were some parts of the campaign that were too hard. I actually know someone, she started playing, and she got to the siege, which is about, I think, about 6 end-to-end of the throne. Sorry?
Yeah, I'm
not
there.
Yeah, and
everyone tends to play.
It's really hard. And I thought, you know, we really need feedback from these people. And occasionally someone will post to the forums or jump on IRC and say, I'm having a rich time with this. So you get some kind of feedback. But it's such a fragmented group. And you'll never find the people who dropped out and never came back because they hit some, you know, something or didn't tune it wrong. And someone said, oh, well, maybe we should choose the newbies so that every campaign, like every scenario in a campaign can be finished even if you have absolutely nothing. But no, that is stupid. Do not confuse beginner with 3-year-old. Because even by the time a beginner has reached like the 12th scenario in the campaign, they're no longer a beginner. You really do need life that. So okay, well, let's pack something in to upload the stats. So I hacked this patch up that would actually upload to a central server and save off relevant information about the game in a text file, which it would then upload to the server. And then I needed some way to display it, and I thought, well, SVG is what kids use to write graphs these days, so I'll learn SVG. So I learned with SVG stuff, so I wrote some C code to turn the graph to SVG, and I figured I needed a database, and I really, you know, spend a long time since we've done that stuff. I might get a lot of learning as well. Anyway, so long story short, we had a server, which is healthy in Perl and Glue. This is stats that we're not at all. You see all the campaigns. This is actually 1-2-1, it's just come out. We don't have any available. But you can click on previous versions and get stuff. Now, I did this beforehand because basically it's just the shell powered web server on the other end of this. It's horrifically slow to drive that. But if we click on one of those links, here we can see the stats. This is how much gold people have at the start of each scenario in this campaign to start up on normal settings. Everybody starts at 100 gold. That's why that is so big. And the cumulative area of the dot represents the number of people who require it. And the answer is it's clickable too. So you can click down on that dot. If you want to find out like what's wrong with this person, you can click on that issue of that particular person's gaming, and you can see, why are they having so much trouble here? You can see like the range kind of spreads out and then everybody sucks about here. They go back to zero gold, right? It's kind of crazy what I'm saying. Kind of comes through. Look, this is again a concentration. In fact, 7A and 7B have two options. Obviously, most of them do 7A, but we make it 7B.
Roll it up.
Sorry?
Scroll it up.
Scroll it up, okay. Scroll it up. So, that gold will start again. So yeah, you can see most of my stuff goes way off that way, then here, and then at the end. So, if you're a campaign designer, this stuff is invaluable. But you can look at this and get some idea of where people are in trouble. Lots of quits shows you where they're actually dropping out.
As they express,
just a number of reported games that where they did want to quit at various points. Really, so two ways of testing a scenario you can through four ways. You can lose, you can quit, you can win, or you can crash. So the percentage of turns given victory, most of the scenarios have a turn limit, you've got to do something in a certain time. The Goblin Quite can try, the story writer's going to go, no, we must get there before winter, which is in 24 minutes. But you really want to see how much, what percentage of the turns they had available did they use. I mean, do we need to bump that up a bit? Or can we cut it down? This is interesting. Total minutes per player. So for each scenario, how much did that player, in total of the games they play, spend? I go to filter outliers, you're probably one. First thing, it took 160 minutes on this one.
I think you were okay.
You should probably read the stats for Heir to the Throne before you start playing it, particularly the total minutes per player time. It's up there, right? And even if you discount the people who obviously left it all overnight, you still end up with, this one's actually not too bad. They're about, that's the average line. So we're looking at about, 30 minutes, 40, 100 minutes, get you that. So, significant amount of gameplay time that people put in. And then we have the count of level 1 units. Units have levels as they go through, they get more advanced. Everyone has a certain number at the beginning. Some of them get more, some of them get less. It drops over time because now they've got more level 2 units. Obviously, no one got to the beginning, and this is particularly useful. Because as I was saying, I have no idea what state they're going to be in. You say, I know they're going to have this many level 2 units at this point. So if I want to change things radically, I can test with that scenario. They have about this many level 2 units, this many level 1 units, and this many, no idea about how many level 3 units have. Now, the way you access this is there's a little office. When I first implemented it, there was a nag screen. When the result first came up, it said, would you want to send stats to the result? People objected to the nag screen. I think the nag screen is actually really important. Nag screen is actually really important because you want statistically valid samples. You want the people to give up after 5%, after half an hour. You actually want to find that information out. So bugging them up front is probably the best way of doing it. Of course, there was no consideration that we would ever do it without asking people. Can anybody find the Send Info button on this page now? Who hasn't actually seen the Send Info button before? And it gives you a URL, which unfortunately will cut Facebook because of the SEO, which is that thing. But yeah, if you want to just write that number down, that's it. The only relief is to have the same short though. If you write that number down, you will see the stats of all your games that have been uploaded. And yeah, this is basically a random number that's generated with using various factors. So unless you give it to someone, it's almost impossible for them to trace, right, for us to trace who someone is, which was a pain in the ass when somebody started uploading crap games or a scenario they were writing. And so we ended up creating graphs for these people with stuff everywhere as a result of testing it. Fortunately, Googling the name of the campaign came up, found the author, and we told it to summary upload. So that's summary upload. And as a result, we've got quite a lot of useful information back to the campaign designers. Oh, that's what I was going to show. If you click on either one of those dots in the SVG rendered version, or you go to your particular URL, you'll see something vaguely like this. Firefox is rendering it in SVG, is interesting. This is Bay of Pearls, Isle of Sedan, whatever else, really old expression. Green is a win. Here, somebody started and just obviously started and quit immediately. First, they started and quit. Oh, yeah, this is the number of turns through. So they've obviously loaded They loaded a game, turn whatever in, and then screw that, or whatever, get it further. Load it, but screw that. Then it's unlucky. Or maybe they say, go turn right now, that didn't quite work. Quit immediately. Then they got here. Green means they got through. So they finished with probably one turn. Next time they went straight through. Yeah. They got to the next one, started and went, if I complete the last one better, this one would be easier. So they went back and tried a few times and ended up loading this sort of a game, obviously, up here. Then they kind of, this is me. The next one they went back and forth on the siege. This is the siege. And then we actually died here, which is quite impressive. We failed there, and we succeeded. Woo! On a real graph, that, this is usually, fail to see, and then graph it. Anyway, the point is, we eventually succeed, we get to the end, we fail, we go back to the beginning, we succeed. Don't they call me fail and go, if I've done the last one better, I'd get it. This is a morphology or whatever. This is the point. I sucked at this game. I'm actually really, really bad. It does have a multiplayer network mode, which I used for the first time when I had to debug a network problem in the WebLock code. Because I fear other people.
Not any
person. So, so the stats turned out to be really useful to me, but quite interesting challenges. So then I went roll. This was what got me into Topic Active to WebLock.org. It's cool, you're doing good stuff, you're learning from the plus. And of course then is what the funds arrived from the show Andy Hood. Not because these had anything to do with me, but I was the last person in charge of the show Enemy Booth code, and therefore anything with that string in it started being assigned to me. So, units can be invisible, they can be cloaked in certain environments. And what would happen with show Enemy Booth, it would say, okay, so this enemy, where can they move? Well, they can't see. And normally they couldn't see your invisible unit. So it calculates it as if, ignoring your invisible unit. But you're the one asking the question, and you can see them. You really want it to say, you can see my invisible unit, now what can you do? So it's obvious coding bars and things like that. Okay. Along the way, it's kind of a dead time to, it's kind of jamming, so it's fun to hack around and things. Then, there's this issue. Okay. You have unit A and unit B, they're fighting each other. A is going to attack B. 8 has 9 hit points, which means you take 9 points of damage before it dies. And it has 2 attacks, each of which do 50% damage, train length station, and yeah, that kind of question. 30% chance to hit. Okay. Unit B, they have a little bit more hit points, but it has 3 attacks, but 4, with 50% chance to hit. Now the AI needs to know the answer to this question: should it do this attack? What's going to happen? And it would also be nice for defensive weapon selection. You often have a range of weapons that you can choose. And it would be nice if it chose the best weapon under all circumstances, rather than using your pea shooter against the cannon that you're playing. Okay. So, turns out the AI simulation code ran 50 times. And then used that result. Yeah. That'd be an IFC.
Is AI actually any good in
this game? The AI is actually surprisingly good because of the task it's got. There are tweaks to the bottle or something like that later. Somebody said to me, on the IRC, yeah, but it can't be calculated faster. Relax, everybody. I had no idea what I was getting into. This hurt my brain more than just about any attack. This was a thug. This was multiple all-nighters, really fiddly debugging. I ended up writing the whole thing in C, and then we hit speed like fuck, whatever language I can understand. This is the problem. This matrix represents the possible number of hit points. Unit A has 9, unit B has 12, and we know that the situation is 1.0, everything else is 0. Probability matrix, straightforward. Okay. Now, first unit A is your attack. Do 60.7. Move some number of this into here. This has got a 30% chance of hitting, therefore, 30% chance, 30% of that number ends up in here. But this represents unit B is still fully healthy, but unit A down on 3 hit points. Simple stuff. Then unit B attacks. 50% of each of those numbers gets shuffled upwards. At this point, it's not a 35% chance both are unscathed. Okay. This gets a little bit more complicated because the A gets the second attack in. So we take 30% of this number and pop on that number. But first we take 30% of that number and pop on that number. You've got to write it back and then we get weird bugs. So we carry it across. And away from your unit, like you can't go below 0 hit points, so you're dead at this point. 4% chance of here, 4% chance of here. Okay. And then again, unit A gets attack number, sorry, it's unit A gets attack number 2, so B hit points are changing, and we copy stuff upwards, doing adding fold. Now, at this point, I can definitely have 3 attacks. Okay, so A, which I've decided, is now going to have 3 attacks. And B's going to have 2, so we roll it up. Okay. We then add the columns to figure out the summary. B has an 11% chance of being dead. Oh, the other thing you notice is that when we did this, this one didn't move up. Dead people don't fight.
What about the unbanned
Unless you have a necromancer to move on. A necromancer.
So 11% chance that A is toast. What should it be? 11% chance B is toast. 11% chance A is toast. I'm doing this just out of the hall before. And I'm going to add up. Position allows for 100% special blade. My first is 10 legs. What's interesting is the chance of B coming out of the gate is 19%, whereas it's a 49% chance that A will come out of the gate. So we use that information. Now, it's not quite that simple. Okay. That only took me a day to come up with. Many units have multiple choices on what they can use to attack. And the choice, you have long and convoluted debates about what is the best thing. Well, this one's got a 51% chance of killing him, but a 60% chance of doing nothing, or a 40% chance of doing nothing, and this one has a 50% chance of doing it, but a 45% chance of doing nothing.
Yeah, that kind of
thing. Anyway, this is the answer. I stopped asking people after a while. I've got all the different opinions. You take, firstly, it's the chance of killing. That's usually the priority. Get rid of the opportunity. So the chance of killing times like, one, the chance of you dying. Multiply that double weight. If that weight is zero, it means you don't care about your own life. If your campaign designer would set that number to negative, it means you'll be actively suicidal. And you'll get bug reports. They're looking extremely straight and great replays of people just throwing them. They're actively choosing the least damaging weapon. if that's kind of a wash, that number ends up around zero, then you start looking at the average damage, okay? Maybe we can't kill them, or maybe it's something like that. Could it be average damage? Minus the average harm, and eventually you start going, well, let's just go for the greatest damage. So the damage and harm go up together. So that's the algorithm that we use to check on. So decide what we have to use in the AI. The problem is that for every weapon you could choose, the defender could choose a weapon. So to really do it, you have to go, okay, each attacker weapon, first let's simulate each defender weapon to figure out what the best one is. Then we go, now is that the best for the attacker? No, and then we go around the next one. So it's actually n squared to figure this out. But,
wait.
The game isn't that simple. And perhaps if this code had been written at the same time as the game was developing, it would stay simple. But there's a thing called drain. If you have a draining weapon, when you attack your opponent, half the damage you do comes back to you as healing. Okay. That's pretty easy, because if you look at our graph, all it means is instead of just going doing damage to them, we go damage and then we're halfway across. So you end up shifting everything. It does mean that you can end up with more hit points than you started with, obviously not more than your max HP. If you're already damaged, you can come back with them. So that we can tell. Berserk. You just keep going until somebody's dead. That's pretty easy, you just keep getting running. And your magic just keeps going towards the edges and eventually the problem is you'll never get to zero in this case, because with some possibility you might be going, 24 hours. So, because we don't care actually 1%, is in 1%, when there's 99% chance that somebody's dead. Somebody added this while I was writing this code. So, wouldn't it be cool? Like, what if it's like a cloud of bees or something? So, as you do more damage, then they get fewer attacks. Right. It doesn't get recalculated during it, so that we should start with. So we just figure that out, start with, and that's always okay. If you hit your opponent, from now on, the first time you hit them, they do half the damage that they did before. Okay. You think that's easy? If this guy, if you're in this line, you haven't been hit. But if you're in this line, then you'll only move to half the damage. You only move half the damage. Except, what if you've got drain as well? They've got slow, and they hit you for negative damage. But then you hit them, and you get it back. So you can't actually use the number of hit points you can get whether or not you're slow. You end up with up to four layers of matrices representing the slow state of perhaps both opponents, if both have slow. Instead, when we did this, you couldn't actually have slow and drain, but having the swarm experience led me to implement something that could simulate So we implement all this, but the AI kills wrong with simulation. What they really want to know is my attack was this one and then this one. Now, what will the answer be? How is everyone going to enter this one and then this one? Well, you just feed the initial matrix back into the next attack, except for swarm. So now you have a variable probability of each attack happening. At the beginning, there's a 100% chance of making a similar number of attacks. The second time, the might attack has been damaged, they might have fewer attacks. So you're multiplying a factor for each attack, so you keep up the attack profile of how many things they've got. Anyway, after a lot of experimentation, and then attempts at optimization, and then bug fixing, and more attempts at optimization, turns out that floating point units are more expensive. Point calculation of this is slower, and obviously heavier code, than just doing it from the floating point. Like using 16-bit fixed point, didn't win us anything. The FPU scaling machine doing nothing while using fixed point might as well be used to be a floating point and you get better accuracy. Note, generally when they'll suddenly use floating point, it's a network game, and both ends sort of get the same answer. Some people don't run the same architecture as other people, or in the same mode as other people. And we had a bug originally where right on the borderline, the simulation got a different result. Particularly, the attack the simulation used to check which weapon you should be using would get it up different. You end up completely out of sync. Very, very good. Okay. So, 1100 lines is what I hated to do myself later. We had the tax simulation, we saved those 50 cycles, and it was only marginally slow. I'm like, in the corner cases, it can be slower, but generally it's much, much faster. And you're getting a result. But the cool thing about this was not only can the AI use it, but I now load my test game. Okay. This guy here is Berserker. Right, so he will attack until dead. So if I take my little useless unit here and attack the Berserker, it shows us we have two possible attacks. It can't defend against an attack because it's 0-0. But what if I try to attack my staff against its berserk 7-4 melee? Not a good idea. There's a difference in time. I won't teach him at all. And at best, I'm around that 30-40 point. And I'm sorry. Okay. Who is? No, I need to. Okay. A normal unit, this unit drain. There is a good, a good 35% chance that I'm actually going to heal them. But it is important that the AI knows. And we used to have this funky green colour, which you got poison, but we lost it. This is kind of a more normal attack. It used to turn particularly green, because the guy has poison, so it keeps it green. That's why the chance of being off game is important. If they've got poison, they get you once, and then poison, then you'll lose it later. Now, people complain that it looks like an angry fruit salad with all different colours, so we simplify. Red is dead, green is good, yellow is. That was the shiny. Okay. Around the time I wrote something called Eric the Throne using that wonderful tool, I went talking with Thea. I thought, what is this experiment that took Air to the Throne to got this boy who goes around and kills things with something? To invert the genders and make an heiress of the throne, and they had a girl who was going to kill them. And it was a simple experiment, and Amanda Penrose did some artwork for me, because of course now, I couldn't just. It's more than that, you just put beers on it. So we did that, and of course, there was actually an interestingly mild reaction for some people in the webinar. Firstly, because it doesn't fit with all the rest of it. There's like a story in Westoff, and this one didn't fit with the genre at the time. But as an artificial campaign, it's actually quite an interesting thing. Somebody said, we need a new tutorial to draw a duck. And Dave White, the head of the project, said, tutorials always suck, always there's somebody to rewrite, no one ever does, let's just ditch it. And I'm like, we can't ditch the tutorial. I mean, it's great for existing players and developers, but everyone who wants to get on the first run probably wants some kind of soft landing. So how hard can it be? Yeah. Yes, all work with log with the attack prediction code. But now we actually have a scroll that doesn't suck. And this is actually quite a useful thing. And the one thing that's going from Eric's scroll is in the tutorial, you can actually choose what gender you want to be. And I even have a fight against that. I'm like, look, some people never put their more with one gender than another. I'm not particularly saying that they will just look at their own. So we should actually use this option at the beginning. I'll be trying to push that into the back of the idea into more campaigns. There's actually no mainline campaign which has a female lead in WordPress. And I think it would be really interesting because I'm going to read back to Eris to throw into a side thing about the princess who actually comes out as sort of a Nazi character in the original world. It's possible to say that. Okay. Very briefly about possible things. In the kernel, we don't deal with musicians. artists, no, not even translators. We don't have deep conversations about how do you translate the difference between fighter and warrior in a language. Like, what is the difference? So before translators exist. They use these web forum things. I have never seen one before. Mailing lists are actually very rarely used. The big mailing list is the main one, and then the developer mailing list is occasionally. But most of his IRC is forum things. That's actually where most people hang out, particularly the sort of group of lines in the dev and the initial world. There was the earlier thing about the beginning mini-conf about licensing. We have had licensing issues with musicians who go, you can't work on the web. Particularly with artists who've left the project and have a work modification, the GPL requirements, of course, because there's a very different culture between code and some of these other things, whereas Bertin is very individualistic and not a contributor rather than in fact, the artist I got to do from the era of Throne stuff and then Penrose originally said no commercial, and I said that for the GPL. Quoted there as the white people sell free software spiel that is only at the dev site, I think perhaps it opens your mind. You know, people who are earning money aren't necessarily bad. Long day better. Sure. Potentially, again, people get enthused, they do a couple of patches, and they drop off again. Like me, as you tell, went down to the old. Leadership. David White, who of course is in Australia, leads the founder of the Lesser Project to 1.0. And then he went, I've finished. I have told my story. I've gotten the game out that I want to make. And said, you know, I'm going to take a back seat. And this creates a vacuum. And what it means is that when you really want to make your code stuff rip out, you don't have the authority to do so. And you don't really have anyone to appeal to do it. It's actually a really noticeable problem. Because the project, people are actually doing cool hacks, but as far as nobody's going to really take to the next step, because nobody has that, this is where we are going anymore. Which we did for 1.0, but this is where we're going. So 1.2 is a refinement, better music, better graphics, stuff like that, but I don't think it's another quantum leap, because there isn't that focus and direction. Which is probably fine, that's probably a good focus to leave. That's the end.
It's actually been afternoon tea for about 10 minutes now, so feel free to run away.